Hi there, this is CPA or Nick or Late for Dinner or whoever you happen to call me. The Dumpster Daddy. That's what we call us around the house. You're listening to Wrestling Cheers.
Taking your way in the world today takes everything you got. Taking a break from all your worries sure would help a lot. Wouldn't you like to get away? Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
And welcome back to Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, especially when blood is thicker than water. This is Wrestling Cheers. We like to talk about things going on in Northeast Ohio independent wrestling scene. We preview shows, we review shows, and sometimes we even have interviews along the way. This is a review of AIW's Gauntlet for the Gold 15. I'm your host, Justin Summers, and Wrestling Cheers is brought to you by the Trending Topics Network and Midwest Territory. Please rate, review, and subscribe your ever listeners fine podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose, a desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com, and we do not have a merch store anywhere. Like I said, this is a review of AIW's Gauntlet for the Gold 15. I've already introduced myself, and this week we got Pam.
Hey guys, I'm back.
So let's start talking about the tailgate.
What a disaster it was.
Okay, I don't think it was a disaster. What I think it was somebody planning something that they've never planned before, and things just all across the board were overlooked. I really think we underestimate the value of Brock sometimes in this situation, but I think when we have another one, we now have like a checklist of like, okay, can somebody bring tables?
Yeah. One thing I didn't fucking think about bringing was, or having somebody else bring, was a table or multiple. I just was kind of thinking that we would use everybody's trunk, and then like I was going to use my trunk too, but then like my trunk ended up being Charlie's trunk because we ended up having to switch cars because my car has been acting funny. And we ended up being like an hour later than we wanted to be. But then like Mike had other components for, like I had the burgers and stuff, but he had the buns. Mm-hmm. He didn't get there until almost five, after five, whatever time it was. So it was like, there was a bunch of shit that like, it just didn't mesh, and it all fucking sucked. And I'm sorry if anybody was disappointed. I'm sorry if it did not go the way y'all thought it was going to. I'm sorry if any of it sucked in any general way. I'm just sorry for everything. I'm sorry for trying. The tailgate made me realize a lot of things about myself that I've already realized about myself, and it made me feel even worse about myself as a person. So if you had fun, please let me know, because I've been hating myself for it ever since, and I'm going to hate myself for it for a while. So I was going to try to plan something for J-Lit weekend for the girls. I don't think I'm going to now, since this was such a disaster. So yeah, yay for tailgating before an awesome show. Hey, at least it didn't rain on us. We did kind of get away with like not drowning, because apparently it had hailed there and been like really gross, like 15 minutes before I pulled in. So
a couple things. I think the funny thing for you guys being late, I was actually, cause you said like it was going to start at 4. So I was like, oh, I'm going to leave by 3, you know, get there kind of early and everything, blah, 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 blah. I didn't leave till like 3:30-ish. So I was like, at that point I was like, well, I'll get there at 4. And then on my way there, cause I said I was bringing donuts, cause I wanted to bring Tim Hortons, call back to having the conversation with Marcy about, yeah, there's a Tim Hortons in Akron. Like, you don't have to like go that far for it. Well, I wonder how busy or how profitable this Tim Hortons is. Cause I am not kidding you. On my way there, pulled up the app, made my order. I wanted 2 dozen, donuts assorted and like 40 Timbits assorted. I felt like, you know, like something there for everybody and all this kind of stuff. I get there. I tell him, like, like most restaurants, you say, hey, I got an online order for her, and you say your name. And he was like, oh, I can't find it. And I'm like, oh, like, he's like, what are you using? Like DoorDash, Grubhub? I'm like, oh no, I'm using like the official Tim Hortons app. Like, here's my order number. Cause I could clearly see it on the screen. And then he found it. He's like, oh, all right, cool. Okay. Just so you know, we only have like three kind of Timbits. Is that okay right now? And I'm like, yeah, that's fine. Oh, and I should say when I pulled up too, they're like, we're only doing drinks and donuts. So I was like, well, I'm in the good. So I pull forward and he's like, oh, I wasn't in the mood to count. So you probably got over 40, which I was like, all right, cool. Like it was like busting out the seam. So I was like, cool. And then he's like, did you get something else? And I'm like, yeah, I got 2 dozen donuts. And he looked at the screen and he was like, we only have one donut right now. And I'm telling you, this motherfucker was the only one there. There were no other customers. And I don't think there was any other workers, as in there was only one other car in the parking lot. And I know it was his because he went to it when I left. But then he was like, well, do you want muffins? Like, I can give you muffins, or, you know, they're actually, you know, more than donuts. And I was like, no, I need donuts. So like for us, it's like, yeah, I said I was bringing donuts. So I'm bringing donuts. Well, you can come back tomorrow and, you know, we can get you two dozen donuts tomorrow. Oh, need them today. Well, I could make them, but like, it's going to take about 10 minutes. And I was like, all right, fine, whatever. And he's like, well, just pull over to the side parking lot. So I park. And at this point, like, it's close to 4. So I was like, you know, I'm going to be late. Oh, well, sucks. I wanted to be there early, but turns out everybody was running late. So worked out in that sense. And then as I go park, he comes out and he's like, well, I can only get you a honey dip. Is that okay? Which is basically, it's like glazed donuts. I was just like, yeah, I'm like, at this point, it's like, fine, whatever. Just give me my order, please. Like, I don't want to be rude to you, because it's obviously not 100% your fault. Because I'm wondering if they just don't get enough business, or they're like, don't stock up on shit that we're just going to throw away. So I wait, and he eventually does come out with them. And he explains to me in so many words, he's like, if I did any other kind, it would take like about a half hour. And I was like, yeah, thinking like, yeah, I wouldn't want to sit here and wait a half hour, but I did kind of want some variety, but whatever. Side note, like when I pulled away and I tried them like 100% fresh, oh God, were they so good. Like,
I'm kind of sad I didn't actually eat a donut. I had some of the bits, but I didn't have any of the donuts. Now I'm kind of sad about it, because usually shit like that isn't fresh.
Oh yeah, no, that fucker. Damn. That fucker was so, they were like, it was so like sticky and gooey, like with the glaze. Oh, like I sat and ate two on the way to Tadmore, and I had to like pull some wet ones out of my
compartment. Say, how the fuck did you manage to do that and not make a huge mess? Like, that just sounds like mess.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, I need to wipe this shit up. Like, my hand is just like too sticky and everything. But that was like my story of like getting there and running late and everything. But like I said, like, I don't think it was necessarily, you know, a failure. It's a learning experience. Like, for all of us, now I feel like if we have another one, sadly we can't do Jay that weekend because we can't.
Odeon.
Yeah, we can't do that shit at the Odeon. But if we were to do it for APSO, we now have like, right, we have some things on the checklist where it's like, all right, tables. And also we can plan it like not the week of. There can be like, okay, absolutely, from right now is like what, 2 months away? Okay, who's bringing what and all this kind of stuff? Because like, I think over time like that, like we could build it. And it was just one of those days, like, too, the weather like made it seem like it sucked. Like, there's something about these shows, like all of us getting together and, you know, kind of like bullshitting. And like, and a lot of the times too, like you have like little groups within the tailgate of like different conversations. So, you know, I had fun, and there's just something about, and I know I posted this on Twitter where it was like, which I pretty much said, I love coming to AIW Akron shows, you know, partially because they're so close. And then like the added bonus of, you know, the tailgate was just perfect.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope other people did. At least my brownies turned out all right. Dustin told me that my Oreos were dry.
I didn't get any of the Oreos because I didn't know where they were. This kind of goes back to like, if we had a table, like being able to see stuff.
They were sitting with the brownies, but since everything was covered in foil, it kind of just all blended in together.
So yeah, like, we can, if we do something for APSO or some other show, like we'll, we got a better idea of what we're doing.
For sure. I had mentioned it a couple of days ago because, like, Alyssa was there, but Bill wasn't. And Bill mentioned having one for App so he could go, blah, blah. And I kind of figured any Akron show, if it's nice out, we're going to do something in some way, shape, or form. We might not be cooking out, but we're all definitely going to hang out pre-show. We always do.
Mm-hmm.
In some capacity, Akron, Cleveland, Jefferson, doesn't fucking matter where we're at. We always hang out in some capacity. So we'll figure something out. J-Lit, I had planned on doing another mimosas and moonsaults thing for the girls, mother little brunch outing. But I don't know if I want to do that again or not. I think that might have just been a one and done because I had, like, for the original one, I had wanted Tom to serve the girls mimosas, like, all oiled up. And it almost happened, but unless it actually happens, I don't think I want the thing to happen.
What if we got Daddy Bishop to do it?
Ooh. Maybe. I don't know, because, like, a lot of people don't have my taste as far as it goes. So, Daddy Bishop might not be the one for... Now, Josh, I'm sure nobody would complain. Yeah, Daddy Bishop, he's a handsome fellow. We'll just leave it at that. Handsome fellow.
So, yeah, the tailgate, like you said, we didn't get rained on. We got drips.
Yeah, a little sprinkle, but not enough to fuck anything up. Mm-hmm. Almost till the end when all the lightning started, and then I started getting scared.
Yeah, that was like, all right, time to pack up, time to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, since we were like using a metal grill and metal utensils, yeah, I started getting a little nervous. I'm like, I don't know about this, guys.
So then from there, we go inside, wait in line. Two things. That line was long as fuck. I have never seen a Tadmore Shrine show with a line like that, to where it like went all the way down the hall by, took a couple turns by where the men's restroom was and like came around back all the way back to the door.
Yeah, somebody said that it like looped into the men's restroom or some shit. And I was like, I didn't see any of it because we had all been standing out front, like a handful of us. And the moment that I saw movement inside, I was like, oh, that's for the gold VIPs. Here I go. And I just like bolted in with my hand up showing my bracelet.
I do the somewhat cheating thing is because like I was waiting, which goes back to the other thing that I was going to say about being in there was waiting inside with that long line. It was fucking starting to get a little humid, a little hot in there. Just so much body heat.
Yeah, it was very noticeable even after like going into the actual room and coming back out like that first round. Mm-hmm. Like I went in, set down my stuff, and then I realized it was chilly in there. So I went out to the car to get my sweater. And when I hit that hallway, I was like, Jesus Christ, I didn't notice this on the way in, but oof.
Yeah.
It's noticeable on the way out.
But I do the cheating thing of, I always know like at least someone towards the front lot, most times like Caden or Michael or Russell. And I just like go talk with them. Cause I mean, the way I look at it, it's like, well, now we have assigned seats. So it's not like a big rush to get in there to like get your seat. Now it's like more of a rush of if you're going to do a meet and greet, which I had totally forgot to grab my Eddie Kingston micro roller. So I had to like walk all the way back out to my car and come back in. So like the line was decently long, I think, at that point. Oh, and then I did the same thing. I found where Caden was. I was like, hey, I'm cutting with you. I'm a bad person.
No, you're not a bad person. It's just sometimes, waiting in line sucks.
Or maybe it wasn't.
Don't want to do it.
Or maybe it wasn't going out to my car. I had to pay with PayPal, and I had to like clear it with Dustin.
Mm.
But nonetheless, got in line towards the front. Like, luckily, it wasn't like front, so I wouldn't feel like a total asshole. But it was like probably within when I got in line, maybe five or six from the front, and it was good to see Eddie. Like,
right, his meet and greet was so funny.
Oh, like. He kind of is right there neck and neck, maybe, depending on how you look at it, with Thunder Rosa, of like how like right. She was able to get on the mic. But like, obviously, like Eddie Kingston and Thunder Rosa are two different type of people, and they brought their own individual energy. And Eddie, like, definitely fucking missed him. And you know, it's like something like you have on your Twitter about, you know, but if you don't like Eddie, fuck you type thing.
I can't believe I didn't retweet that this weekend. That was dumb of me.
I've had a similar mindset since he showed up on AEW, because there's people I've heard out there just like trash him, whether it had been on social media or there was a podcast that I was listening to for a time period, and they just flat out didn't like Eddie, just didn't think he was that impressive, or at least one of the co-host. And I straight up fucking stopped listening. I'm just like, I can sit here and listen to a lot of these other podcasts and they all give Eddie Kingston praise. Like, some of them are biased, like, you know, Joe Sposo, not necessarily him being unfair, but it's just like, he knows Eddie. But I hear from other people that don't have that connection. And I'm like, what's the difference between you and them? Obviously, you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. That's the difference. Like, you don't have to love Eddie, but like, acknowledge like the talent that's there. Cause I think I went back and like listened to them when Eddie had that pay-per-view match. I think it was it, you know, Mox versus Mox main event, mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to hear what they say now. And literally it was the same thing. I don't really think he's that good. He shouldn't be in the main event. I'm like, fuck you, motherfucker. But
yeah. People just don't know good wrestling, that's all.
I'm like,
good wrestling, good wrestler.
Like, you either like Eddie Kingston or you're wrong. Simple as that. But yeah, I got my micro brawler sign. He has a weird fucking signature. It's supposed to say King, but it looks like it says K-I-W-S. But after talking with a few people, they're leaning towards King. But that, if I were to show you the picture, what's supposed to be an N definitely looks like a W. Actually, no, yeah, that's right. I didn't say W there before. Yeah, K-I-W-S. The N looks like a W.
I never noticed that.
I'll send you a picture of my micro brawler sign. You'll go, oh, yeah, that's weird. I even sent it to Sposto. I was like, what the fuck's this supposed to mean? He's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird.
And then I guess Stacy pointed out to Rick that it says King, like a different signature, not necessarily mine. And I, like, mm-hmm. when Rick told me that, I'm like, oh, I see it. I don't think it says that, but I could see like how we get from A to B. Okay, we're good.
Right.
So that was pretty much all the pre-show stuff, because you did not do a meet and greet.
I did not. If I had stayed at my seat and not gone out to my car, though, I'm sure Eddie would have come over and hugged me during the meet and greet like he did Stacy. So, or whatever he did with Stacy. I don't remember, but I just remember Stacy saying he came over and talked to him during the meet and greet.
Yeah, because I think eventually the line died down and everybody who wanted a picture and everything got one. So he was probably like bullshitting there for a while, because I don't think I was right there at that point. Huge shout out to Chase Oliver too. If you're at his merch table, go pick up an 8x10, because he might have used one of our pictures and gave credit to Wrestling Cheers. I might have a signed copy here in my office too, and I think that's pretty cool. Didn't ask him to give credit, but he did. So yeah, go and support. Great dude. All right, let's get into this show. We started off with the Bang Bros versus Bulking Season. I love opening shows up with Bulking Season. There's just something about this team that's fun to watch. And being able to start off a show with them is always a good choice.
I love Bulking Season. They're definitely one of the... If you need a tag team to start off the show to get the show hype, they're definitely a tag team to open match for sure. They are very energetic and fun and exciting, and I love watching them wrestle. They're just so much fun.
How do you feel about the Bang Bros?
I don't know much about the Bang Bros. I've only seen them twice now because of that one Winchester show and this one. I guess they're all right though. Like, I'm assuming they're going to be around more, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of them in the future, but I don't really have an opinion on them as of yet.
I think it was one of those things that AEW kind of alluded to of, yes, there are other like tag teams in this division, but luckily for Bang Bros, they all had bookings other places. So they got to be on the show. I'm not expect to see them at the Odeon anytime soon. I mean, if they are, cool, but if they're going to be like a young tag team in the region, because they're definitely not, they're not from Ohio, but still like in the Midwest, and they pop their head in from time to time. I'm for that because we have a lot of tag teams where it's either you are homegrown AIW or you were from somewhere close and you got a few years together. And then there's like the veteran teams. So adding this other team who is a little bit further away, not popping up on many shows close to here, and putting them on shows, I'm for it. Like, they're not a team I'm invested in right now, but I haven't hated them. I haven't been like, oh yeah, I don't care to ever see them again. I like having this like younger tag team around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they look to be like babies.
Mm-hmm.
In the relative sense of things.
Yeah. I didn't take any notes for this show. Most of the other matches, like, I have somewhat memories, but this one, I don't have much, but it's pretty much what I expected. Bulking season winning, it was Arthur MacArthur pinning Davey Bang.
Yeah, I was going to say that I rewatched it a little bit ago. I'm actually watching the show right now. The Matt Cardona match is starting. But on the rewatch, like, I know I saw it in person and then rewatching it and get to see it at a different angle. There's like, I like what I saw from the Bang Bros. I don't really take notes at shows, but I try to like pay hella attention because I know there's a possibility that I'm going to be on Wrestling Cheers for a review. but so like, I was able to at least get a rewatch in, and if they're able to come back, like, it's crazy that they're on like a bigger show, but already, even after just being on the one Winchester, but like, I'm ready to see like what they can do, like how many other shows they'll be on, and who they get to wrestle, and how they get to rise up the ranks if they do end up coming back to AIW, and it's not just like a couple show, you know what I mean? Like, because mm-hmm. our tag team division is so stacked, like, is there really room for another one? But I mean, if they end up coming back and doing more stuff, I think they'd be a tag team that I could get into. They kind of remind me. I don't want to say they remind me of the Bitcoin Boys, but just because they're two tiny little dudes that can like do things, you know what I mean? But yeah.
I'm going to say they remind me of a not as polished Bitcoin Boys.
Yeah, like when they were both first starting out kind mm-hmm. of deal. Yeah.
Because I believe what has been said about Bang Bros is, you know, they've been wrestling mostly in the pandemic era. So that's why, like, their names aren't necessarily out there as much as a lot of other teams.
Got you. I don't even, like, I'm completely ignorant about a lot of things that aren't AIW. And I'm a bad wrestling fan for that, probably. But I don't even know, like, where they're from. I didn't pay attention to the entrance, even on the rewatch, because I suck as a human in general, not so much as a wrestling fan. But, like, I don't even know where they're from. I don't know where they got their footings in, but like, if they just keep coming back and showing that like they can handle tag teams like Bulking Season and who did they wrestle with the Winchester? I don't even remember.
Was it members only?
Was it? I don't even remember. I'm so bad at this stuff. But like, if they can come in and keep wrestling like people that have been at AIW for a minute, like showing what they can do, like, they'll eventually, like, I don't know where I was trying to go with this, but yeah, you get what I'm saying. My brain is so scattered anymore.
Let me see. At Cibernetico de Mayo, it was 9 to 5.
Was it?
Yeah.
9 to 5, them bastards and no donuts. Gave us veggies at that show.
I brought us donuts. And that, actually, I think nobody ate the actual donuts except for me.
That's how I felt about my brownies. Towards the end of the night, I'm like, I'm not going to be the other only motherfucker eating these. I'm cutting them up and I'm giving them to people. I'm shoving them down their throat.
I was going to make the comparison of the Bang Bros kind of remind me of Members Only too.
Baby tag team.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much where I'm getting it from is, you know, that baby tag team that's no insult to anybody, but maybe they don't have everything 100% figured out or just like, I should say, flushed out perfectly. So I would love to see, you know, those three teams that we mentioned, Members Only, Bang Bros, and Bitcoin Boys, in a lot of matches together, whether it be a, you know, triple threat or just certain team matchups. Like, I think that's three groups, three tag teams that can really build off each other.
For sure.
All right, let's get into the next match. AIW is great for some surprises. All of a sudden, Casey Carrington comes out, and the thought process of a lot of us is, what the fuck match is this? This wasn't announced. But I always kind of like those, because then it's a mystery of who's coming out next. Because at this point, it could be anybody, just as long as they weren't already in a match announced. And hell, even sometimes there's match change-ups at the last minute, and somebody who's supposed to be in another match ends up coming out. But for this one, it wasn't. That was Casey Carrington versus Bobby Orlando. How do you feel about Bobby?
I like Bobby. He's a nice little addition to AIW. Bobby Jr.
Yes.
Can't forget about Bobby Jr.
We have had 2/3 of the Shook crew in AIW. We just need the third. We need Bryce Donovan. But Bobby's fun. Thoughts on Casey Carrington?
Oh, he can fuck all the way off. I know why he was paired with Ethan Wright. He bores the shit out of me. So I found my new Ethan Wright replacement for boring me to tears. Like, I should have been thoroughly entertained by that match because Bobby is thoroughly entertaining. And I was bored because of that little shitbag. Like, he could try to be a cocky little bastard, flip Mike's hat, do whatever he wants to, yada, yada, yada. But it's not going to make you a good wrestler. Like, you can go to the Nightmare Academy. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You could be the young trendsetter. I'm sorry. I don't see how he has any appeal at all. Like, it does absolutely nothing for me. Coming out and being a cocky little bastard, that's not a fucking gimmick. That's not a wrestler. That's not any. That's just you being an asshole. And I don't know. This is all my own opinion. My thoughts and reflections do not affiliate with Wrestling Cheers in any way. Little disclaimer, lol. But no, I just personally, I cannot get into him. I do not like him. He's a shitbag. I just hate it. Like, I like Carson more than I like him, if that says anything.
Wow. That's a...
right?
That's kind of high praise. I don't think I've ever heard anybody say that about Carson.
I would rather watch Carson do a sharpshooter than watch Casey Garrison match.
I'm not going to necessarily name names, but a lot of people will talk about how, you know, Carson's like a ripoff Bret Hart. There's another dude out there who is like an even worse Bret Hart ripoff.
Ooh.
I'll tell you later, but you won't really know who they are. They wrestle for some other companies, but I would rather watch Brian Carson than that dude.
Well, I'm excited to figure out who that is. I'm doing the Mr. Burns hands. Nobody can see me.
Sad thing is, I don't think he has social media. Like, he doesn't, I should say he doesn't have like Twitter and Instagram. I think he's on Facebook. I have to double check, but yeah. The story, not for the airways. Just because I don't want to bury somebody.
Yeah, we don't bury people on Cheers, I guess. Well, you don't bury people.
I mean, as a whole,
I just destroyed Casey.
Well, I'll even say with Casey, like, I like him to an extent. He's not my favorite, but I look at him kind of like what we were talking about, Bang Bros and Members Only. Like, he's a young kid, and like for some reason, like, no matter what his age actually is, which has to be like at a minimum of 18, maybe 19, 20, like he just comes off to me as a kid. I don't mean that as like some sort of insult or anything. It just like he comes off really young, and I'm kind of waiting for him to actually get physically bigger, like a baby Bishop.
So you're waiting him. Never mind.
I know where you're going with that, but no, that's not exactly what I mean. But in a way I'm waiting for him just like, I don't know, just to go from me looking at him and like, he's a kid to someone who's in his 20s.
Got you.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe for him, maybe it's facial hair. Like, he literally just looks like a kid.
Yeah, the baby face is too baby. Wow. I cannot wait to talk about this later. Wow, that guy's a douche. But I don't know. Like, yeah, I guess he's too much of a baby face. But like, even if he had a little bit of facial hair, I think it would just make him look more like a douche more than an adult. I don't know, like he just reminds me, like, if he would try to like grow a mustache or something, that like it would just be like this little peach fuzzy I don't know, like wannabe mustache. Oh. Like when Winston puts a mustache over his mustache because he can't grow a mustache.
I'll say you would say he would look like Caden.
Oh, that was such an ugly laugh. That's so wrong. Oh, you're so fucking wrong for that one. Oh, shit. Oh, that was a good, oh, man. I needed that laugh.
I hope we see more of Bobby Orlando in AIW. This is his third appearance? Yeah, third.
I would say third or fourth. He's definitely had a handful in the last few, but yeah, I'd love to have him back. He's so much fun.
Fourth, because I always forget the Rubber City Con appearance. Because he was technically in that. He then showed up again at WrestleRave as a replacement for somebody. I can't remember who off the top of my head.
Yeah. Last minute.
Mm-hmm. Then he got murdered against Broner.
Mm-hmm.
And then now this match. So yeah, I want to see him in more matches. Throw him in a scramble. Get him out there more. Now we have potentially two people from the tri-state area that we'll be coming over, so hopefully more on that later, but you know, hopefully we see more of them further on down the road.
Right.
Unfortunately, it was Casey Carrington pinning Bobby Orlando for the win.
Blech.
Let's move on to the next match. Before we could get any further on the card, out came the Bitcoin Boys and the Duke. Basically, the Duke saying, you know, is it injustice that he didn't have a match for the Hoss Boot and, you know, the Bitcoin Boys. And the Bitcoin Boys are the best tag team, I don't know if he said in the world, but I know he means AIW at least. There's no team that AIW could bring in that was better than them. I'm kind of paraphrasing. And then we hear the sounds of, I believe it's called Sweet Cream. And if you're not someone who subscribes to or has added the playlist from myself and Charlie Butters on Apple Music and Spotify, you could keep refreshed on some themes that maybe you haven't heard at all or haven't heard in a while. This is one of them. And as soon as it hit, I was like, oh, fuck, no way. It's none other than the Jollyville Fuckets. This was our first surprise of the night.
And it did not disappoint.
We talk about how crowded, how much competition there is in this tag team division. Here come the Fuckets, former champions, coming back. So good. So good. Like, for some people out there, you know, the Fuckets are nobody. But this is a tag team that has been around AIW for most of a decade. I can't remember if they first showed up in, like, 2013 or 2014. But nonetheless, been around, and they've disappeared twice. And both times now coming back, huge pop.
Yeah, I lost my ever-living mind when I realized, because, like, I didn't remember the music because it's been so long. And even listening to the playlist, like, I don't remember who belongs to what if they haven't been there in a while. So, like, I heard the music, and I'm like, okay, I know this is a callback to somebody. Who is this? And the moment they fucking stepped, I was like, oh my fucking God, like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. And just lost my mind.
That's the fun thing about the playlist. I will say, if anybody has questions of like who, like what theme goes to who, I can name most of them. There is one or maybe even two where I listen to it and I'm trying to like remember who it is. Cause it's just, I mean, this is like most of the themes that have been around for at least my lifetime in AIW. So there's just a lot of fucking great themes. Even there's a cover of Johnny Cash's Sunday Morning Coming Down. Colin used that for a while. Most people wouldn't necessarily know that because they might not have been around during Colin's kind of like comeback era where he slimmed down a little bit and went on a run for the Absolute title. Anyway, the Fuckets.
Yes, sir.
probably like literally as soon as they came out, we were like, Mikey's getting pounced. Now,
oh, 100%. Like, I think it was hilarious that we were making bets on it. Like, who do you think it's going to be? Mikey? Yeah, it's going to be Mikey.
Sadly, it wasn't fucking Mikey. We have to, like, wait for it.
Yeah. Big sad.
I need there to be a compilation of T-Money pounces in AIW, and I kind of go with my favorite, and this is weird coming from me, my favorite was Veda. Because she fucking flew.
She's so tiny. Or they're so tiny.
Yeah. Like, they were talking, like, in the middle of the ring, like, just saying stuff, like, kind of like in the middle of a match. And here's T-Money fucking running the ropes and just boom. I think that clip is on YouTube. The only other really funny spot that Veda did back at that time, this is the Turner's Hall era, when the Batiri put them in a pool of cheeseburgers. Instead of like a pull of thumbtacks because Veda's a vegan.
That's hilarious.
They also did bacon bits as a thing too.
Oh, that's mean, but also hilarious.
And I'm hoping with the fuck it's like, this isn't just a one-off. Like, we're going to hopefully see them maybe at the rap show, maybe at Absolution. Just see them more, especially within this division.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the great thing about, you know, a new tag team, and I say that little tongue in cheek, but like a new tag team that hasn't been around in a while, we have so many new matchups. Kind of more on it later, but give me the Fuckits versus members only.
Yeah, we got a little tasty taste of that later in the night, but yes, that's like something that I had talked about in the past with somebody, and it's like, could you imagine? It'd be adorable, like, father, son, and then like got peace, but it was so cute. And it was like, no, now I kind of want that even more, because it's like Nasty Rough and T-Money going with Malcolm and Calvin. Like, oh my god, that'd be amazing. Just like, give it to me.
Anything else on this match?
Nah.
Fuck it.
Yeah, you beat my nah was a little too extended. You beat me to the fuck it.
And it was T-Money pinning Eric Taylor to give the win to the Fuckits.
So glad they're back.
On to the next one. Kaplan versus Filthy Tom Lawler. Like, in my head, I keep somewhat track of where I think year-end awards are going to go. Obviously, I don't pick them, but just kind of like, at least have like my vote and then maybe think of how it's going to go. There is something about Kaplan this year. Coming out of, especially coming out of last year, of like he puts on these fucking matches and he might not win them all, but they steal the fucking show. And I don't think necessarily this did, but because this was a crazy fucking card, but I would say the first half. Oh no, I just remembered what the next match was. I don't know. This and the next match were fucking great.
Kaplan's been on a tear, if you will.
And it's something I think I said last week of, or maybe even the week before, of imagine if Kaplan didn't go away when he did, like having the job where he was out on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is the Kaplan we were somewhat robbed of for a while. And even when he had his little spots here and there, he was just as brutal and just as loved. Like, here's a dude mm-hmm. that we were only seeing like a handful of times here and there. And we were just like, fuck yeah, Kaplan. This guy's fucking awesome. I've maybe it's something like he just represents Northeast Ohio, Cleveland, whatever it is. And not necessarily in the sense of like, you know, go team, of just like he's one of us, and I fucking love him for it.
Right. We love Kaplan. Kaplan coming out looking like a fucking boss every time. Look like he's going to destroy you.
Then you have Filthy Tom Lawler. Like, can we talk about how he's basically changed his music? It's now Elvis.
Yeah, I was very ready to hear Passion Pit, and it threw me off. I was like, okay, so we get some Elvis tonight. And I turn around and I see Nathan Zagura jamming, and I'm like, well, Nathan likes it. I guess it's all right. It's no Passion Pit, but I'm used to a song change by some of my favorite wrestlers.
I mean, I love Elvis, but there's this...
Oh, don't get me wrong. Same.
Yeah. But there is this thing with Filthy of, we love the other song way more, But also, and this is where I thought it was going, because I believe he used it at the Odeon last, but he's someone that will randomly have like a different theme song. Like when we had the last December show.
He used ICP, didn't he?
Yeah. Which is because I'm totally blanking on, we had a few hits a few years ago. He uses Santa Claus as a fat bitch.
Yeah.
So I thought it was one of those things like, oh, you know, this is what he's using for this match. And now I believe that's two in a row to where I'm like, oh, no more clapping. We get Elvis, which not opposed to Elvis, but like that had become a staple in AIW.
Right.
Of I mean, probably easily like one of the most loved themes in AIW as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's one that is pretty much going to get, especially if you're a Tom Lawler fan, it's going to fucking get you up on your feet, jamming and dancing and clapping, like ready for Tom to come out. And it adds to like whenever he like leaves the curtain and comes out, like it adds to his pop. At least I've always felt that way.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd say adds to the pop, but it adds to the moment, because how many theme songs do we do that to in AIW? Like,
right.
Technically one, and it's AIW's theme song that we clap at the beginning of the show. Like, that's it. That's fucking it.
Yeah, playing Passion Pit is interactive. Mm-hmm. I like that.
This match was a typical Kaplan match of a lot of fucking brawling, weapons and everything.
The literal first thing that happened, Tom didn't even get into the ring, and Kaplan fucking goes through the ropes after him. Like, Kaplan is just fucking insane.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to wrestling. Like, he just does whatever the fuck he wants, does not give a fuck, and that's what I love about him.
And the biggest disappointment of the match, something told me we were finally going to see the time that this thing happens, to where someone pulls out a door. For older matches, it would have been a table, and it just flat out doesn't get used. Because there's always that at least for me, the speculation within wrestling of when you see something start to get used, or you get a table set up, door set up, it's like somebody's going through that. It could be here in the next minute, the next few seconds, or it's one of those things that we're going to come back to in like 5 minutes, if not longer, and then use it. But instead, no, there's the door was on the ring in the barricade. Nobody went through it.
Yeah, and the way that it happened was purely accidental, too. Like, watching the playback, like, Kaplan attacks Tom, Tom lets go, and it just smacks and lands that way. Like, it even staying on the ring surprised the whole team. But, yeah, it landed that way. A piece of it broke off, went into the crowd, and then, yeah, it never got used. I was very surprised that it did not get, because, like, when Kaplan loaded him up, like, I thought that he was going to put him through. I thought he was going to toss him off of his shoulders, over the rope, onto the door. And he went the other way. And I was like, what the fuck? Are we not using this door? Like, what's happening right now?
And even, like, you know, part of the crowd kept yelling in, like, you know, use the door. Go through the door. Yeah. Put someone through the door.
Doors were broken during that match.
But Filthy kept going for the submission every chance he had, and it it worked. Filthy Tom Lawler picked up the win over Kaplan via referee stoppage. Let's get to the next match, which was the last match of the first half. Isaiah Broner versus Eddie Kingston. This is a match that I kind of called how, at least it was going to feel to me, it's a tougher version of Suzuki versus Broner, because you can hit Kingston harder. Kingston could potentially hit harder, and you have two, I don't want to say younger wrestlers, I'm just like comparing it to Suzuki, like two younger guys going at it.
Mm-hmm.
And they fucking hit hard, and it, what a way to end the first half. What were your thoughts on the match?
It was a hard hitting match, and Eddie, I love Eddie. I miss Eddie. The pop for Eddie was fantastic. But it essentially, like you said, was like a harder hitting, not harder hitting, but like in the Suzuki Broner sense, in that match. Isaiah has been building himself up over the last year in AIW, and every opponent he faces, he shows that he is definitely somebody to look out for. He has put his heart and soul into every match with Suzuki, with Eddie, with you fucking name it. He's putting himself out there. And to go toe-to-toe with Eddie this show, Suzuki last, and be able to show those guys that he's able to do what they're doing. And like, even though he's like newer to the game compared to those two, like he's going toe-to-toe with them, and he's showing them like, hey, look, like I'm good at this, and I'm gonna kick your ass. And he put up a hell of a fight against Eddie. Those two, them chops, man. Oh, I was watching on the playback a little bit ago, beginning of the recording, and when Eddie took down his straps, like, you know, means business in his time. And it was such a good match. Like, when you get somebody who is like a good wrestler like Eddie, like, there are no words for his matches. Like, you just have to sit and watch them, because he just, I don't know, he's just that good. Like, and whoever he's wrestling, he amps them up and gets them on that level too, and it just puts on a hell of a match, and it was just all good. I fucking loved every moment of it. Two hard-hitting motherfuckers beating the shit out of each other. What more could you fucking ask for? It was everything I wanted. I hope it was everything everybody else wanted too. I thought that match was great.
It's only been about, actually, the day of this recording, it's been 8 months. Only 8 months that Isaiah Broner has been actively in AIW.
It was what, August?
September.
September.
It was
4 months.
It was Ace Degenerates.
That's right.
8 months ago today, as of this recording, and look what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
And something we'll get to later on in the show, I feel like we have potentially a little bit of a direction, no pun intended, because I'm not meaning Derek, but we have a direction where I think we're going with Broner, either for the next show or maybe APSO. We'll see how matches go, but I like it.
I like it. Picasso.
We quote that all the time in my household.
I quote it every so often because, you know, he's not on TikTok. So even though this afternoon sat here for Christ 10 minutes and watched the reels, and I'm like, bro, just fucking do it. Just join it. At least it'll be fucking tailored and for your algorithm and shit. Like, just do it.
Yeah, I don't know why some people don't, but it, I don't know. It is what it is. But yeah, I like what you said of like, it's hard to describe an Eddie Kingston match, but 100%, you know, this is something that Isaiah Broner deserved, like a match he deserved. Him in this match, and then Suzuki. Like, I can't think of the last person who has came into AIW and been able to make this much impact with very little fanfare coming in. It's not like, you know, Isaiah Broner was, you know, tearing it up on the East Coast and then came in here. He came out of Michigan, and, you know, he'd been doing things in other parts of Ohio and Kentucky and Indiana. Fuck, now just had a match with Eddie Kingston, and totally happy for the dude. But unfortunately, it was Eddie Kingston pinning Broner for the win. Both were on the mat a little while after the match. Seemed like something was going on with Isaiah's arm. I haven't got any update on that. I mean, he does show up in the gauntlet, so we know he's at least in active condition.
So when he comes out, he has a, I'm assuming there's an ice pack underneath, like white gauze or like a white wrap of some kind on his arm. So like, maybe he just like hurt a muscle or something for the night. Hopefully he's not too bad. I would hate to see him injured.
Yeah. I mean, I would say go back and watch this match if you haven't, but at the same time, really, if you, like, this is a pretty great fucking show. And I felt like it built over the night, and as a whole, if you didn't think AIW was back over, you know, the past like two shows, I would say it's back now. It feels like we're on a course for something and we haven't necessarily felt that 100% for a while. Like there were certain things going on over the last year that have been like storyline driven, but now I feel like we have a lot going on at once, and obviously we got Abso coming up, so it's perfect. Let's move in to our first match back from intermission. Came back with Chase Oliver versus Derek Dillinger. And I mentioned in the preview, like, I felt like this was a number one contendership match for the Intense title. What does Derek go do? He wants this to be an Intense rules match. And, you know, Chase agrees, and we get that. Chase versus Derek, Intense rules. What were your thoughts on this match?
So, even back on the rewatch, Jesus fucking Christ, these two, like, they're ridiculous. The way that they both handle each other in ring and keeping Ziggy ringside, I fucking love it. She's absolutely fantastic. But I didn't even notice, even though it happened on our side of the ring, I didn't know that she hit Chase with a fucking leg drop. Like, it was cute. It was like the perfect cute little leg drop. And I was like, I didn't even see that happen. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, she said Undertaker and then did it.
Yeah, I didn't even see her do it. I was just like, what the fuck? How did I miss that? I was literally standing right there. But yeah, their match was actually pretty good. Like, watching it on the replay, like watching a lot of these back on the replay gives me a better view of things that I can't actually see from that corner of the ring. So getting to watch these two actually like each other senseless was kind of cool. And I thought it was a really good match, and Intense rules, man. It's always going to go in Derek's favor. Fucking Derek. Love him. This whole show is just worth the rewatch in general. Like, just fucking seek it out. Watch the whole show. Watch the matches. Pay attention to them and actually see, like, what is coming out of this place and what AIW is producing. Because these kids are fucking great. And Derek just keeps getting better and better. Chase keeps getting better and better, too. But Derek is just on another fucking level. And is everything about him is just so much better now than it was even a year ago. And he's on fire. I can't wait for his chance at the titles.
Yeah, I'm not sure when that's going to happen, but...
Me either, but one day maybe.
Yeah, it's bound to happen. I think just with either of these two, you know, let's say Chase ends up getting the Intense title first. You know, Derek's going to be right there after it and vice versa. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if one of them wins it and then the other one ends up beating them down the road for it. I think this has the potential of being a nice little rivalry going forward, because Derek really hasn't had much of a rivalry since everything with Justice, which was the end of last year. So throw in a title and a rivalry at the same time, I think that can be some good shit. And it was Derek pinning Chase for the win. All right, let's move into the first main event of the evening. Dominic Guarini versus Matt Cardona for the AIW Absolute and Intense Championships. I mean, before we really get into it, because this match wasn't long. This match, well, let's take a second pull-up cage match if it actually gives us time for how long this was. Oh, there's an official time.
Is there?
would you like to guess the official time?
2:22.
When I tell you this, you're going to be shocked. Officially. Well, I say officially because it's got to be close. 52 seconds.
Oh my God. That's fantastic.
And Dom dominated most of that 52 seconds. Like, I'm not great with...
Matt's a pussy. That's why.
I don't know moves and everything, but basically Dom had answers for everything for Cardona.
Mm-hmm.
Had him beat in the middle of the ring, but out comes PME. There's that. One of the things with Cardona has been strength in numbers and having the ability for all these people that are on his side to come in and interfere and help sway the match, even if the match is Intense rules. So we see Cardona and PME beating down Dom for just a few seconds. Out comes Rip City. Rip City has had had enough. So they come in, fucking take care of Cardona and PME, and they're about to get some revenge for Wes Barkley. Just clip some of Cardona's hair. Again, strength of numbers. Chelsea low blows them both.
That little bitch.
And then a familiar song hits, but not an AIW familiar song. Out comes Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. The house goes fucking unglued. And we get a nice face-to-face confrontation with Chelsea and Britt. And Britt takes her down. Almost puts her in that, whatever that her finishing maneuver is. I can't remember it off the top of my head because I'm, like I said, I'm horrible at certain move names. But Cardona.
Does she call hers the mandible claw?
No.
Or what does she call? No. I don't even know.
I mean, I do have cage match in front of me, but talking and...
The literal moment I went to go ask Stacey, a call came in.
Go figure.
Lockjaw.
Ah, that's it. I knew it had something to do face-wise.
Yeah, but she goes with the lockjaw. Cardona pulls her out, pulls Chelsea out. And we get a nice... But from Britt, but you get some words from Britt where basically she says, you know, Chelsea, you know, you're one of my best friends, but these boys here are my brothers and blood's thicker than water. And since, you know, there's four of us in the ring and there's four bitches outside of the ring, like let's have a 4-on-4 8-man tag match. And of course it ends up happening. Thoughts on this match?
It was such a good match. I, watching playback a little bit ago, realized that you could see me making the gagging face I made when they came out, and it makes me laugh. But this match, I went from, like, I didn't know how everything was going to go with the OG match itself, with Dom versus Matt. Obviously, I wanted Dom to win. I went into this wholeheartedly wanting Dom to win because I fucking love Dom. I would love Dom to be champ. He deserves it. He's been through so much, he's done so much, yada yada. And then with all the attacks and everybody coming out and then like Britt coming out, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be great. And it was fucking fantastic. Like it was such a good match. Josh fucking throwing Matt over the edge or over the rope with a fucking bishop bomb and him landing on all the people and blah blah. It was such a good match. Like they did such a good job on it.
I'm going to save some thoughts I have about Cardona for the end of the show.
Heard that.
Because there's some things that I want to say, and it's going to tie it in perfectly with how the show ended. Spoiler alert, maybe. Maybe it's the thing that a lot of us thought was going to happen, and it made sense to happen, so I'm happy that it did happen. But this match was so much fun.
So much fun.
You have the joy of Britt Baker being back, having a surprise appearance, her teaming with, you know, teaming IW the way I kind of looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way it was, you know, it was her even in the odds a little bit for team IW. So yeah, that was, I was happy with how everything happened.
Yeah. I was not disappointed in that match at all.
And it was, Chelsea Green tapping to the lockjaw. There we go.
There you go.
From Britt Baker for Team AIW to pick up the win. Let's move on to the other main event of the evening. And it is none other than the Gauntlet for the Gold match. All right. I'm going to attempt to go through all the entrants, and we can stop and like talk about some of them and our reaction and everything. So entrant number one, Jocelyn Navarro.
Yeah, I like Joss.
Entrant number two, Katie Arquette. So
I also
with these two, obviously there's kind of a feud going on, and we have to see more going forward. So I felt like this just confirmed it. Great. Happy to see it. Here we go. Entrant number three, Marion Fontaine, keeping the streak alive. 15 Gauntlet for the Gold matches.
Real quick, that was the best entrance and exit I've probably ever seen.
Absolutely loved it. He's the one surprise that's not a surprise. That's why earlier today when I put out a tweet and Instagram post saying like what return was your favorite, I didn't put Fontaine because like for me, I didn't necessarily feel like it was a return because it was expected. All the other ones weren't. So that is the reason why he was left out. Entrant number four. Fontaine has to have one of, if not the shortest Gauntlet for the Gold times because he was in and then clothesline right out.
Yeah, it had to be, what, 10 seconds, maybe 12?
I think you count when you get in the ring, your entrance time. So we're talking 2, maybe?
Amazing.
Entrant number 4, another return, a surprise, The Bachelor, Benjamin Boone. I think this was one of those that probably went over a lot of people's heads.
I'd be one of those people. I had no idea who it was. He was interesting to watch. I like the Rose thing. I like how him and Jocelyn and Katie like did the whole bit together. That was kind of cute. But yeah, I'd never heard, or I've heard of him, but I don't think I've ever seen him before until that day.
Boone was once a part of the Iron Curtain with Gregory Iron.
Oh, okay.
And before that, I think he was in AIW years prior, but back when I first started coming around, he was a part of PWO, also known as Prime Wrestling. He was a part of a tag team with Nate Mattson called Sons of Michigan. So he has a little bit of a connection to the area. I do believe he's out of Toledo, but you know, I was surprised to see him. I kind of like some references like that. Like I might have got called out for wanting people like the Chad, but like I don't know. I kind of like the little dumb pops that maybe not everybody's gonna get. And it's not like, oh, I want to be cool thing. It's like, I don't know, just give me somebody like Benjamin Boone who hasn't been around in such a long time, that older fan they're gonna get. Even if they're in there for like a minute, like I don't know. I think it's fun sometimes.
For sure.
Next two we go through really quick. Casey Carrington was entrant number 5. Entrant number 6 was Brian Carson. Entrant number 7, another return, changed his music. Understandable. Fucking CPA.
Dude, I was so fucking hyped when CPA came out. Like, I've been hoping he's coming back for like a while, and he finally got to come back, and it was so exciting.
This is the first show he's been on at AIW, and this is not even me looking it up on Cage Match, but was up the last time he was here was Hey Yo, if I'm correct, because I believe he was in a tag team match with the Boar.
Wow, so it's been since my pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
But
I keep forgetting I saw him last summer at Real Rumble, and I'm like, why did I see him last summer though? That's why.
Well, you also might have seen him at Major Announcement because he was there. He didn't wrestle, but he was there because I went and gave him a big hug.
No, I didn't see him at Major Announcement. I did, like, when we went to Real Rumble last year, though, like, he hung out with us, like, at the cars and shit for a while, so that's what I was thinking about that.
I'm planning on going to that this year. Financially,
it's, like, 2 weeks from...
Yeah, I know. Financially, I'm trying to figure everything out. Weekend. Yeah, financially, I'm trying to figure everything out.
Yeah, we were going to go, but it's too close to vacation, and we can't swing it this year. It was a year ago today. I hung out with CPA a year ago today.
It would cost $80 for me and Amanda to go total, just tickets for both nights, trying to figure out lodging. I would hope, granted, it's wishful thinking, like, I hope I might have some friends in that area that might be able to set me and my wife up for the night so we don't have to pay for a fucking hotel room.
Camping there is not bad, even if you have to sleep in your car.
I'm picking on, like, where I sleep. I'll take a regular bed that I might not be, like, super comfortable in compared to my fucking car.
Got you. Yeah, we all kind of just, like, stayed the night in the parking lot last year, so I was like, maybe you'd be willing to do that.
Yeah, and what sucks is, like, we don't have a tent, because that would be my other option. I just if I had a tent in a sleeping bag on top of that, because I haven't had a sleeping bag in a little while, like, yeah, I would probably do that instantly, but I don't. And I want to go to both shows.
Stacy and I slept in our car, and then we left, like, at the butt crack of dawn and managed to make it home by a decent time. So, like, if you would go, leaving first thing in the morning is definitely ideal. And if you happen to go through the area while they have breakfast, I can recommend a good McDonald's to stop at. Probably the best McDonald's breakfast you'll ever have.
I'll see how things go. I mean, as of today, they're starting to announce talent.
Yeah, I saw Erica Lee is going to be there.
I have a list of people that I want to see there. Like, if they were to announce Jeff Cannonball and or Tara Calloway. I don't know if she's, I think she's still wrestling right now. I don't know if she's taking another small break or not, but even if it's just Jeff and like Tara's there hanging out, like that's an instant go for me.
Right.
And then like, I know I want to see Shay McCoy. That's towards the top of my list. I think I had a couple other people. Erica Lee is somewhat up there, not super high. Either surreal above Erica, but below the rest. People that I've seen like on TV, I see them on Twitter, but like I've never met them. So I want to see them wrestle in person and meet them. So hopefully that happens. So yeah, entrant number 7, CPA, welcome back. And I'm hoping, fingers crossed, like maybe we don't see him next month. Maybe we don't see him at APSO. Maybe we don't even see him at JLIT, but you know where we should see him? And that's Wrestle fucking Rager. Entrant number 8, Mikey Montgomery. I made a joke. Maybe I said a little bit too loud. I was kind of like impersonating Ed from Pod Van Dam. And I said, he's going to win it all. And then I see Dom poke his head out from the curtain and give me a weird fucking look. Like, what the fuck did you just say?
I missed that.
Entrant number 9, Sid Von England. Entrant number 10, Isaiah Broner. Fuck yeah. And actually at this point too, Broner fucking cleared house. And he did something that I don't think I've seen in a gauntlet match. I might have, just don't remember it. Because it was down to him and Katie Arquette. And, you know, Broner's just like, you know, I'll give you some free shots. Hit me. And before Isaiah could even attempt to get his hands on her, like, because I don't even think he tried, because she was having no luck of, like, really putting a dent in him. She just jumps over the top rope and goes, nope, I'm done, and eliminates herself.
That shit was so funny.
That was kind of my thought. Like, when I saw both of them in the ring, I was like, if I was her, I would just jump out and be like, nope, I'm gone. And she put a little effort in. She's like, yeah, this ain't working.
Yeah, that shit was funny as hell. That was so funny.
So we're 10 entrants in, and at this point, there's only one person standing, and it's Isaiah Broner, and out comes T-Money. Oh. I have talked about like Broner and Kaplan being a team. Imagine those two versus the Fuckets.
Ooh, that'd be interesting.
Entrant number 12, we got Chuck Stone. So we got three big boys in the match right now. It's great.
That's a hoss match if I ever saw one.
Entrant number 13, Filthy Tom Lawler.
Good number.
Entrant number 14, Dominic Greeny. And I did forget, but at the same time, you're kind of supposed to forget this. When Broner was in the ring, he wasn't the only one left. Casey Carrington was hiding under the ring.
A little snot-nosed shitbag.
Dom comes out, lifts up the apron, and rips him out from under the ring, throws him back in the ring, and eliminates him. Unfortunately for Dom, Casey is Casey. He grabs a chair, hits Dom with it, and ends up eliminating Dom. So obviously, that feud is continuing on and can't wait to see more. All right. Halfway point. Entrant 15. Philly Marina. Or not Philly. Oh, I hit the wrong fucking Twitter handle. I hit the PME one. It's Marino Tenaglia. I'm doing a lot of shit at one time. Yeah, it was Marino Tenaglia. Entrant number 16. Gary the King. Baller. Again, this was one of those points. Music hits. If you're up on your themes, if you're listening to that playlist, it's familiar. It's fucking Gary the King Baller. Potentially one of my favorite returns of the night.
Yeah, that was definitely one I did not expect at all, and I was very excited about.
Entrant number 17, Calvin G. Lewis, and we get the father-son moment. Calvin and Team Money. I would say it's everything that I ever wanted, but I wanted in a match, so I got teas of everything I've ever wanted.
Yeah, it was definitely good.
Entrant number 18, Eden Von England. Entrant number 19, this was another big return. As soon as his music hits, if you know the song, you know who it is. Dick fucking Justice.
The amount of screaming that happened from our section was absolutely insane. Like the moment that even the first note of that song hit, Stacey was like, shut the fuck up. No, it's not. No, it's not. And we just all fucking lost it.
And the thing with Dick Justice, like pre-pandemic, he basically stepped away from wrestling.
Mm-hmm. He hadn't been there since 2018, according to
commentary.
Yeah. Thank you for the word.
Yeah, the only thing that I did, I went back and rewatched. I went and found all the surprises just to hear the reaction and not necessarily have enough time to sit down and watch everything. But yeah, he hadn't been at AIW since 2018, but he did step away in 2019. Didn't wrestle at all in 2020. His only match in 2021 was at Old. And then he's, back here for this. So I think Dick Justice potentially could be one of those dudes that, you're only going to catch him in certain places. Maybe it's just AIW and Old. Maybe he sprinkles in another company or two, but I think he's someone who has decided the smart thing for him is to scale back and only do the things that he loves and go to the places that he loves. And two, for those who haven't watched it, for those who didn't even watch Old Wrestling, well, because I don't think it's on IWTV yet, or maybe it's premiering soon. But anyway, fucking Dick Justice looks good. Dick Justice lost a lot of weight. He
looks amazing.
He's not it's not one of those weight losses where he's super skinny. He's still a little bigger, but he is not the size that he used to be. And he looks fucking great. And I'm really, really happy for what he's been able to do.
Oh, absolutely.
Entrant number 20, another return, one called Manders.
It was nice having them thighs back at AIW.
We ended up getting a thing later on between him and Broner, because I think it was Manders that eliminated Broner. And that didn't feel like it was just a one-off or it's over now. No, these two are going to fight later.
Yeah, I missed what actually happened, but I saw a tweet earlier today. I think it was Butters talking about how you and that cowboy still have business to finish or something like that. I was like, oh, what did I miss during that match?
Entrant number 21, another return. I think, double checking real quick. Yeah, I do believe this is our last return of the night. But I'm going to be honest. I've been thinking about this dude and wondering where the fuck he's at. Big Twan Tucker.
Oh, 100%.
I was kind of afraid he, gave up. Just stopped wrestling.
I talked to him for a little bit after the show, and he took some time away, but I think he's going to be back.
Yeah. Entrant number 22, Wes Barkley. Entrant number 23, Philly Collins. Entrant number 24, Arthur MacArthur. 25, Nasty Russ. 26, Malcolm Cambridge. Entrant number 27, Joshua Bishop. 28, Kaplan. 29, Derek Dillinger. 30, The Duke. Then we had the final four being Bishop, Marino, Derek, and The Duke. Final three, Derek, Bishop, and The Duke. Final two, Derek Dillinger and Josh Bishop. The winner, Joshua Bishop. It will be Bishop versus Cardona at AIW's Absolution, I think it's 15, for the Absolute and Intense Championships. So, something I've noticed, and that's Derek not being able to get it done, losing in the Biggins tournament. The last one to be eliminated in the Cibernetico. The last one to be eliminated in Gauntlet. This is a dude who gets so close, but can't finish the job.
It makes me sad because Derek's really good and Derek should be on top somewhere, especially in AIW. He should have a belt of some kind. Derek is busted his ass. Like, Derek and Dom and a handful of these guys who've all been there, they've all been putting in the work and busting their asses. And one day, Matt Cardona is not going to be champ anymore. And one day, Joshua Bishop's not going to be champ anymore, because one can only assume Josh is beating Matt at Abso. Let's hope and pray to fucking God Josh is beating Matt at Abso. But like, the titles are going to split, and I cannot wait for the day. Cannot wait for the day Derek is intense champion.
Unfortunately for Derek, as a cop-out as it sounds, like, Bishop just wanted it more. Look at the trajectory of Bishop over the past year and a half, and especially over the last, like, 7 months. At one point, Joshua Bishop held 3 championships.
Mm-hmm.
Unseen. And then, within weeks, he has none. And he has been on a redemption tour since. So when it came down to Derek's being the only one that standing in his way, Bishop gave no fucks.
Yep, sure fucking didn't. And threw him through a fucking table.
Yeah, eliminated him by throwing him over the top rope onto a table.
The way that table broke, oh my dear lord, it was beautiful.
All right, I'm going to go back to the Cardona thing, because Cardona does end up coming out. They end up fighting a little bit, but Bishop gets the upper hand. Cardona goes away. I don't care what anybody says about Cardona. I think this whole storyline has been great. Like, there's people out there that hated that Cardona became champion. And, you know, it was something I didn't see coming. But looking where we've gone since that day, it makes, honestly, it makes GCW look so fucking stupid of how they book Cardona as their champion and to how AIW has booked Cardona as their champion. He has
Is he still the champ at GCW?
No, he lost that a long time ago. Like, he had like a couple joke defenses and then he ended up losing it to Mox.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't watch GCW, so.
I don't watch it either, but I'll hear things here and there.
Right.
But still, like, Cardona had some, you know, real big high moments, mm-hmm. of where, like, he looked good. But then, you know, then we get moments like tonight, this show, of, you know, being beat by that entire AIW team. Even before that, it looked like Dom was about to beat Cardona.
Mm-hmm.
And even before going into another show, like, Cardona has only really worked with a handful of people in AIW. And it's mostly Cleveland talent. I know Dom is Canton, but, you know, it's still like this AIW Cleveland talent. Mm-hmm. And the one-on-one matches, you know, have been against Wes. It's been against J-Pro, which might be my favorite one-on-one match he's had in AIW. Not J-Pro, but Cardona. Because there were legit mm-hmm. moments in that match I thought Cardona was going to fucking lose. And it was going to be to J-Pro. And I thought how cool that would have been. It seems like we're going to get the predictable ending that Cardona loses at Abso. Calling it predictable isn't an insult. It's not a complaint. Because sometimes the predictable story being told is the right story. Could I see us getting a minor swerve where it, you know, Cardona doesn't lose this match, but he loses something after? Potentially. I didn't want to see Dom win this match for the championship because I want it to be Bishop. I want it to be that redemption storyline of losing in your hometown, winning the gauntlet in your hometown, then winning the title back against the man who beat you in your hometown. Give me that. And again, like, I know a lot of people don't like Cardona, but I think him being willing to do this kind of shit and put over this kind of talent says a lot about him, and I respect and love him for it. Like, granted, like, I'm a Cardona fan, not as crazy as others. I have a level head on it all, but I love him for what he's done with AIW. When him and Brian got released, selfishly, I wanted them to come to AIW. Actually, Brian was released first, and then I was like, oh man, maybe if they release Cardona, they'll come to AIW. Here we are over 2 years after that day. And Brian Myers has only been here twice, and Cardona is our champion and has had a great storyline with Bishop. And the thing too, and this definitely doesn't go as much to Cardona, but it goes to AIW, of how smooth this story has actually flowed, of going from, you know, Bishop and Wes going for the championships and everything, you know, with Go for Broke and the Biggins tournament, and then boom, triple champions. But you still have PME, who kept getting screwed over, but they end up siding with Cardona. Cardona beats Bishop for the titles. PME ends up beating Rip City for the titles. And then since then, an underlying story has been this redemption. I love it. Like, yeah, like I said too, I'm a Cardona fan. I'm rooting for Bishop at Apso to win, because that's what I want to see.
Mm-hmm. I want Josh to win too.
And I might have ideas of what I want to see after that, but I'm not necessarily going to speak it into a microphone right now. If it happens, I will be happy. If not, at least I didn't tell you. But that's the end of the show. That's the end of a great night. And then if you wanted to, there was a meet and greet with Britt Baker after the show. There was a charge for it. I don't know the individual prices, but the combo was 50. I might have been tipped off. I might have had some Britt Baker figures in my car ready to be signed. But also, I might have figured she was going to be there no matter what. Like the Tootsie Pop commercial says, the world may never know. So, thoughts on the show as a whole?
Top to bottom, it was fantastic. I was not disappointed. I felt like I didn't feel like anything because I didn't pay for it. What am I talking about? I was going to say, I felt like I got my money's worth, but I was fortunate to have a friend gift me the ticket that I used, because he was not able to attend because he was at a wedding. Top to bottom, fucking fantastic show. And if you've got a handful of hours to kill in the next couple of days, couple of weeks, anytime you want to watch some wrestling, fucking go back and rewatch this show, because it was so good. Like, the returns, the matches in general, like, everything was good. John, thank you. You did really good. Very good. Thumbs up. I have a bad habit of doing things, and I know it's not a visual podcast. Thumbs up. How about you, Justin? How did you feel about the show?
Are you saying thumbs up for Bishop?
I am, in fact. Yes. Oh, no, that's... But yeah, totally thumbs up for Bishop. Everything about that was great.
I mean, I liked it. Great show. It's easily already in show of the year contention. And, you know, like I said earlier in the show, I believe AIW is back. We're on the road to Absolution, and we got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah. Any final thoughts or last minute plugs before we go?
All right, guys. So you can find me on Instagram and Twitter. Twitter is my main, of course. It's PAMELAA_NICOLEE. I'm nice enough to spell it for you this episode and not make you go find it in the show notes. You can follow me on there. I post funny things, and we can talk about things that I like or you like. And I will hopefully start the New Girl podcast in the next couple of months. Charlie and I are getting some ideas together, and I'm hoping for it to be a fall 2022 thing for me. So looking forward to that. And hopefully you guys will listen. And I can't wait to see everybody at the rap show in June. If I'm a fucking mess that day, please ignore me. I've got a lot going on that week. So, yeah.
As for me, you can find me at jsummers330 on TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, much like you can find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Facebook.com/WrestlingCheers, Twitter.com/WrestlingCheers, and Instagram.com/WrestlingCheers. Email, if you so choose, a desire, WrestlingCheers@gmail.com. And we no longer have a merch store anywhere. Like I said earlier in the show, please rate, review, and subscribe. You're ever listening to this fine podcast, whether it be Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Podbean, WrestlingCheers.podbean.com. Check out our friends on the Trending Topics Network, such as All Beer Inside, Eurovision Showcase, The Spanish Announce Table. check out our other podcast friends, such as Pod Van Dam, Super Fantastic Podcast, It's Evolution Baby, The IndieCast, Sobros Network, Biff Radio, Game Marks Podcast, Powerbomb Jitsu, The Spotlight Series, Fully Posable, Doing the Favor, Positively Pro Wrestling, IWTV Guide, If You Catch My Grift, At Odds with Wrestling, Marks with Mikes, X Over Podcast, This Ends at Prom, and Porch Talk. Check out our other non-podcasting friends such as Thrift Store Jobber, The Savage Dash, The Mystery Men, Redline Radio, Mouse's Wrestling Adventures, VHS Party Tonight on Instagram, Heart of Gold, Toyhio Toy Show, Time Capsule Toys, Stay Tough, Smokin' Jay's Barbecue, and remember you can use promo code CHEERS for a discount on your order. JCP Designs, Midwest Territory, Southern Underground Pro, and the official graphic designer of Wrestling Cheers, Moy Boy Designs. That will do it for us here on Wrestling Cheers, where everybody knows your name, especially when you're a DMD. Later.
It's the Wrestling Cheers. Get up on your feet, brightening your day in the middle of the week. And you gotta love the show. Yeah, you know it holds a title for the best podcast talking wrestling in Ohio. Finishing a cold one, take a load off. We ain't all about the prohibition like Josh. So we cheers and then we sit back. Other shows are in the trash, kinda like they Nick Stapp. Like the name is Matt Justice, wearing all the gold. Wrestling Cheers is coming to a close. The number one podcast going in the game. And one day everybody's gonna know the name. It's the Wrestling Cheers. This is Platinum Max, signing off. Ohio, good night. The world, good night. We love you, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for everything, guys. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And if this sounds awkward, it's because I'm doing this post-recording because my AirPods died. Haha, joke's on me. So, yeah. Hope you guys liked the episode. Take care. Bye.